to be free. What good is freedom if we haven't learned to be free?
Why does anyone else need to sing when you have Mavis Staples? Why does anyone else need to do that? Oh, my God, is
that
she
was great.
Mavis Staples will be at the Clearwater Festival this weekend, June 15th and the 16th. Clearwaterfestival.org to find out more information. We're going to be hearing the various acts this morning from the Clearwater Festival. We'll hear from the Mammals and Birds of Chicago, Ani DeFranco, and So some great groups that'll be part of Clearwater Festival happening this weekend. Clearwaterfestival.org. You can see the playlist on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. All right, let's get started. We have a lot to talk about and some limited time, so let's get going. Siena College Economics Professor Aaron Pasitti is here. Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, everyone.
Very nice to have you with us.
Aaron's going to be playing out tonight, right?
Yeah, my band Big Stone Gap is playing at the Browns Wallumsack Tap Room in Hoosick Falls from 6:30 to 9.
What's the name of that place again?
Browns Wallumsack Tap Room.
Wow. It is. God, is that beautiful.
It's gorgeous. It's with the waterfall.
I think it's one of the most beautiful places that we have in our region to just go have a beer.
Inside or outside, it is phenomenal.
They
did wonderful things
with that.
So
what will you be playing? Playing a banjo?
I play guitar in this band.
Oh, I see. You play different instruments in different bands?
Yeah.
Cool.
And a jack of all trades and master of none.
I don't know. That's not what I
heard.
Hear.
The band
is
pretty good. Actually.
Yeah. So the band will be tonight at
6:30 to
9. 6:30.
Get there early because last time it filled up and people couldn't get seats.
Oh, no. All right. Well, I'd stand for you guys. Oh,
thank you, Joe.
All right.
yeah, we can.
And try the guava goza, just saying. Rich Honan is with us, corporate attorney at large, and we are good to have you here, buddy.
Good to be here. My band is not playing tonight.
We're trying to get
something together over
where
the next
did you learn
year.
How to dance
yeah,
the way you
could,
do? You're an excellent dancer.
I'm not an excellent dancer,
no, you
but
are.
Thank you. No, my moves are dad moves designed to make my kids embarrassed.
Well, you could dance on stage with us.
A great radio dancer.
Yes. I've actually been told by somebody you know, Aaron, that I'm a very bad dancer.
Well, that's not true.
Was it my wife? Because she says that about everyone.
That's just not true.
We should mention that Judith Eng is out today. She would normally be with us, she is on assignment and is out in the western part of the country. David Soares was scheduled to be with us up until about 5:30 this morning, and then his job brought him to something
to a crime
much
scene.
More sobering. So we miss David this morning. So here
no
we are.
No linkage there between Judith is out, David's on a crime scene.
No, because I knew okay. about. I knew about Judith a while ago. I found out about David this
so
morning.
She's not a suspect.
Have we ruled
her out? Or?
He did also say that Ray has been ruled out as a suspect. He did say that in his message.
I thought he was just trying to flush Ray out.
Yeah. Well, that always could be the case. Governor Andrew Cuomo will be on at 10 this morning with Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Well, I'm just ducky.
Excellent. Good to hear. All right, so we're ready to go. And with all of that said, let us begin. And we'll, my God, yesterday was a big day. We have so much to talk about. But let's begin with the campaign dirt story, because now the president is was being assailed for saying that he would take campaign help from foreign folk.
Yeah. Let's read that. Russians.
Help from Russia. And now he's saying that, well, of course I would go to the FBI. Even though when he was asked directly if he would go to the FBI, he said, I've never called the FBI. Why would I call the FBI?
Right.
Why would I need to call the FBI? And then they say, well, Mr. President, this seems very bad. And then he goes, well, of course I would call the FBI.
And he even got called out by none other than the sycophantish Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
Who I just don't know how to read of what kind of flopping fish he is.
What perplexes me about this is that there was the whole tariff issue last week, which seemed to be designed to get the whole Mueller investigation off the front pages.
Mm-hmm.
And now he comes out and says this, which just adds more fuel to the fire of the whole Russian conspiracy and foreign interference in elections. So I'm not sure what's going on inside his head.
Here's the problem. We don't know what the various actors know. I'm assuming the president of the United States knows, right?
No, I'm looking across. Sarah's trying to take a picture through the window.
Oh,
which she
I
says,
see.
Will
so you
work.
Were posing.
But I was posing.
You were a poser. So, we don't know what the president knows. I'm assuming the president and his lawyers know a good deal about what the various prosecutors have on the Russian thing. And so his actions are those of somebody who is a little bit desperate. In other words, not even a little bit desperate.
But you made this point off the air just while we were waiting to go on, which I thought was a good one, which is, but nothing means anything. You say this Wednesday, you say this Thursday, you say this Friday, and you say all of these things. None of them make any sense, and it doesn't mean anything.
Well, they do make sense in a larger context, Joe. They make sense in that he's one scared rabbit right now. He knows that people are on to him. And that various prosecutors are onto him. And what I'm saying is, we don't know how dangerous it is. So when Hope Hicks gets called in, you got to figure they have some reason for calling her in, and they know something that they're going to ask her. Because generally, there's this general rule: you don't ask a question you don't know the answer. You don't know the answer to. So they're calling her in, and they're gonna. So I think he's showing this. The signs of somebody who is quite desperate. And as I used to say, when we played Saluji on Fire Island, you know, you threw the ball, there was a guy, a monkey in the middle, there was a guy in the middle, he was trying to catch it, but it was going over his head. That's what I'm thinking the president is doing right now.
But were you one of the people who used to run after the guy caught the ball and had to be stopped?
I was one of the ones who was very bad at sports. And therefore, always being picked on. And I didn't like it one bit. And I hate those guys to this day.
The Saluji jocks?
Yeah.
Well, this is an appropriate absurdist conversation about an appropriate absurdist topic.
Not really. I mean, I think
no, but I think you're
he's
right.
The monkey in the middle.
His philosophy all along has been governance by chaos.
Right.
And it's just to create. You know, you say one thing one day, you take it back the next day, you say something different, you know, the following day. And this is just part of his playbook. But it seems in light of the Mueller report and, you know, what you were saying, that this he does seem to be running scared. It also seems like a not so covert invitation to invite other countries to participate in providing intelligence for the 2020 election.
Exactly. Especially when you know every single indices that we have out there in terms of the polling shows him to be in serious, serious trouble.
Yeah, I don't think it's governance. I think there's important things that he does, and then there's unimportant things that he does, and this is, in his mind, one of the unimportant things. And, you know, and I agree. I think he knew all you guys would jump on it, and everybody's going to jump on it, and, you know, that's their shiny object for the day. I don't think it has anything to do with the important subjects like, you know, immigration and Iran and other things.
I understand what you're saying, but when you start talking about if he believes seriously that he would take information from foreign powers and dirt on his opponents, should that not in some way be concerning?
Yeah, except that in real life that wouldn't happen. In real life, if he let's first of all,
what
I don't
do you
even,
mean in real life? It happened in the 2016 election, apparently.
Not to him. The other guys did that. Okay.
Well,
now,
that's
and
a very
I think
good
that's
point.
What he was saying. But
can you imagine, Rich? Can you imagine if Obama had done any of this stuff at all, or
reported it to the FBI,
or even uttered those sentiments that the establishment, the Lindsey Grahams, and everybody would be all over him?
Well, we wouldn't know because we wouldn't hear about it because the media wouldn't report it. So,
oh, come
or the
oh,
media
come,
would, or
Rich.
The media would gloss
you,
over
you
it.
You were doing so well up to that statement.
And the media would write, it's not important. Do you think that somebody's going to accost Obama or Trump on the street and say, "Hey, I have some information here," and they're going to. And get that information over to them, and they're not going to tell anybody about that?
Wait,
it's a silly argument.
If Clinton or Obama had said, if the Russians want to give me information about my opponent, there would have been hell to pay.
Well, there wasn't hell to pay when the Clinton, when the DNC went and actually got information from the Russians on their opponent. There hasn't been hell to pay on that.
There was the Steele dossier, which was commissioned by Democrats, but it was also reported to the FBI.
Yes.
So there's a big difference
later. Well.
That's quite.
I think that's quite a sound
you just made. Later.
I don't think it's important. I think that if this is the thing we're worried about, that what Vladimir Putin is going to tell him something about Joe Biden, and he's not going to tell the FBI, if that's the level of things that we're actually worrying about, that means that there's more important things that have been taken care of, and I don't think that's the case.
What were you going to say, Joe?
Well, I mean, it just also seems though that To me, I understand your point, but it also seems to underscore something larger, which is that he doesn't take the overall issue to be serious. The fact that the Russians hacked our election in 2016, it just seems like that's being taken seriously.
Which have been confirmed by the special prosecutor.
Yeah, but Joe, that's because you guys, the Democrats and the progressives have made such a mockery out of that issue. I mean, in the beginning, there was this idea that, you know, maybe the Russians...
How are we making a mockery out of the issue?
Well, it started with there were these allegations the Russians were somehow, you know, affecting our election, which we all agree is bad. The Obama administration did exactly nothing about it.
Wait a second. We all agree it's bad, but your guy, sorry about doing this, your guy Trump, of course, he denied it even happened.
He was denying that the Russians were working to get him elected, and I don't think he was denying necessarily that there was hacking of any type. But my point is
no.
The allegations were made. The Obama administration didn't do anything. Kind of famously didn't do anything. They didn't want to mess up the election. It obviously wasn't so bad at the time. In retrospect, with all the investigations, it might have been worse than they had knowledge of at the time. So I'm not necessarily dogging them for that. But and then the whole thing turned into, you know, the Russians are trying to elect Trump and the Russians are working with Trump, and there was nothing to it.
Hey, Rich, you can't change history.
I know.
You can't change history. There's no question. He said it didn't happen. The Russian thing was a hoax. He told that to his Russian friends. He told it to Comey. We know that he said
the hoax was. I'm sorry, Alan.
No, please. The
hoax that he was referring to was the hoax that he and his campaign were working together with the Russians. That's actually been confirmed.
Mueller said there was no conspiracy. That doesn't mean there weren't meetings. There was not enough evidence to prove there was a conspiracy. But taking a middle ground, what Putin and Russia's whole objective was to weaken Western democracy by just
chaos.
By chaos and social media posts on extremely divisive issues on both sides. The whole project was just to upset the balance that normally exists in
this
country. So it's not that Putin necessarily wanted Trump, although I think everybody can agree that he probably was leaning to that side, could ask him.
He said so.
But his goal was just to, you know, foment unease and more division and polarization in politics. That was the goal.
And it succeeded beyond their wildest dreams when after Trump won, people now said, oh, it must have been because, you know, he was working with the Russians. And it turned into this enormous deal.
Rich, this guy won by 70,000 votes in these three crucial states. I'm not prepared to say that when you have that small an amount, that didn't count. I think it did count, and we will never know. But we do know that Obama went to Trump in the beginning and said, day one, these Russians have been doing bad things, and for some strange reason, this president didn't take that all that seriously.
And why didn't the Obama administration take it seriously enough to make some kind of—
They did.
They really did.
He went and he said to them, he told them, cut it out.
No, before the election, why didn't they say, listen, be really careful and communicated it as Obama was a great, President Obama was a great communicator, and he would have had the media behind him, and they could have said, look, we're getting some reports. Be really careful about what you're reading. Be really careful about your information. They could have done that. They decide either it wasn't important enough, which might have been a legit answer, or they didn't want to upset the election, which I think is a more likely answer.
Or they didn't have enough information to – getting back to your point, right, is that it's very likely that Obama did not want to appear to influence the election given
– They thought they were going to – Rich's point is well taken. They thought they were going to win. They didn't want to screw it up.
Right.
So that's what it was.
All right.
Trump should have just known better than to say
otherwise,
that.
Otherwise,
Rich, you sound like Eeyore.
Otherwise, Rich is absolutely wrong.
What were you saying, Aaron? I'm sorry.
Trump should just know better. It was like Kellyanne Conway saying blah, blah, blah to the Hatch Act. It's just like you're the leader of the world's, you know, superpower. Just say it politely and diplomatically and say it like you understand how the law works.
See,
I agree with you on the unbecoming of a public servant.
See, I thought Trump. First of all, who was it? Stephanopoulos? He was talking to. So he was messing with him anyway, right? Because it's Stephanopoulos. I agree with you on the Kellyanne thing. And Joe, I don't want to get out of order on things.
I want to talk about it as soon as we get back. We'll have a minute. But no, go ahead. You have 30 seconds to set it up, and then we'll take a break and come back and talk about Kellyanne.
I think the Kellyanne thing is. It's a real charge. It's a real crime, and the I don't know the right word. The lightness with which she's taking it, I think, is offensive, and that's something that shouldn't be permitted. But I see a factual difference between that and Trump commenting on a hypothetical situation.
Sure,
fair
enough.
But the Kellyanne thing, I think, is indefensible.
Alan's leaving.
Bye, Alan. Have a good weekend.
Pretty soon it's just going to be. It's like a poker game.
It's going to be Joe in 15 minutes. Just Joe.
Yeah. Just leaving the ship. What the hell's happening?
While we're on air.
I'm sorry, what was it? Saluji
Jocks. Saluji Jocks.
There you go. My favorite band from college. We'll be right back.
Against the flood, waters of fatigue and insecurity.
Ana DeFranco.
I love her.
Oh, God. That
was
voice.
Great.
She has a memoir out called No Walls and the Reoccurring Dream. And my God, is it good.
Is she old enough to have a memoir by now?
She's old enough. Yeah. She got out of the kids' table and, she grew up and can write a memoir now. But my God, is it beautiful. Just lovely.
You realize that she's on the record with Pete on Bring 'Em Home. Oh. In that great song, Bring 'Em Home, Bring 'Em Home.
Well, you know, she writes a lot about Pete in this book, actually.
Yeah, does she?
Yeah, it's really cool. Anyway, we're playing music from the Clearwater Festival, which is happening tomorrow. It's the 15th and the 16th, and it's clearwaterfestival.org. And you can find out more information, and we have the whole playlist on our website. Let's go to letters, and then we'll get into the Kellyanne Conway, Sarah Sanders, the communications staff
Governor Sanders
conversation.
Governor Sanders.
Governor-elect, yes.
So here it says, and it's so bad, I can't resist saying, if Bill Clinton was the governor of that state, right?
Arkansas,
yeah, correct.
Yeah, so Bill Clinton and now Sarah Sanders.
Well, her father.
Yeah.
Bass player extraordinaire.
Mike Huckabee.
There you go.
Her father appears also to be, he's kind of like a Republican Joe Biden in that everybody who meets him likes him. You know how like everybody always says like they just personally like Joe Biden?
Right.
Everybody says that Huckabee is also one of those guys that you just personally,
He played bass with the guitar player of Korn. And if people haven't heard of Korn, they were one of the most aggressive new metal bands in the late 90s. And
So off my diet. Okay.
What was it? Reginald? Who was the Korn? Who was the bass player of Korn?
Monkey or Fieldley? I'm sorry, you're testing my knowledge from 25 years ago. I'm sorry.
Why don't we find out if anybody's listening?
Okay. Good point. Mike says, after many months of attacking the credibility of U.S. intelligence, the Trump administration is now claiming the intel shows Iranian responsibility for attacks in Persian Gulf. Did they cry wolf too often? Mike.
Well, actually, I thought you guys might do something about this on the Media Project, Alan, because I saw, I have to look at the New York Times every day because I do the crossword.
Because you have to.
I have to because I can't get to the crossword puzzle without going to the front page. And when the report first came out, the New York Times front page, at least on the
digital edition,
had this whole kind of editorial on, is it really the Iranians? But it was on the left-hand column. It was like where the news is,
yeah.
and here's why it doesn't make sense for it to be the Iranians and all this kind of stuff. Then like an hour later, this video emerged,
yes,
and that came off the front page of the New York Times.
Interesting.
So I thought almost from a Media Project standpoint that was interesting to me. Next time,
just send it on in, will you, please?
I'll do that.
Yeah.
Screen capture.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
And then I got to the crossword puzzle. So.
Yeah. One last question, which is entirely relevant to this. If you read the Times online, can you do the crossword puzzle online?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, you can.
And by the way, there's
a mobile app for it, too.
It's great. I thought it took me a while to get used to it. It is great doing the crossword puzzle online.
It's fantastic because you can just press the letter, and then if you want to change it, you can change it
easily. You can see it. I do it on planes, actually. If you don't know what
the word means, you can look it up.
So all of us who face dementia... Mm-hmm. Then the crossword puzzle becomes must do.
Yes.
In my case, I haven't even tried it, but Roselle, ink.
I used to do it in ink, but I will tell everybody, and I'm not a big New York Times fan, but doing the New York Times crossword puzzle online is great. And also, you know if you finished it correctly, because it tells you finished it correctly. If you fill in everything and it's not right, it tells you.
So what you're saying is the New York Times wouldn't be failing as much if they did more in their crossword puzzles and less in this news stuff.
The New York Times hasn't been failing since Trump got elected, right? I mean, they're doing great.
Our friend Christine says, rallies tomorrow across the country. Good morning, panel. It's time for Congress to step up and begin impeachment proceedings. A huge rally is planned tomorrow at 12 o'clock noon. Elise Stefanik office in Glens Falls. Join in, Christine.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going
to
happen.
We're taking to the streets.
Elise Stefanik is going to join in, right? Okay, Steele dossier. I seem to recall that the Steele dossier was originally commissioned by Republicans for opposition research against Trump during the primaries.
I remember that too, right?
Yeah. I stand corrected on that.
But it began as Republican opposition research, but then I thought that it was paid for by the Democratic National Committee and then used by the Clinton campaign.
Well, don't look at me. Okay. And then we heard from Tom, who said, good morning, all.
Good morning, Tom.
Yeah. One concern I have regarding our present administration is that the outrageous things that President Trump gets away with might become normalized. Alan touched on this. I hold the media responsible to continue calling out the utter absurdity of much of what comes out of this White House. Thank you for the great intro music. I played along. That's from Tom.
Absurdity is a good word.
Trump's mind, says Mike from Saratoga Springs. I disagree with Rich's viewpoints on Trump, but respect you for having him on the panel. But why does Rich get away with saying things about Trump like, I think what he meant by that? Does he have access to Trump's mind? And if so, can he explain it to the rest of dumbfounded America? Again, Mike from Saratoga Springs.
Yeah, I've said this before. Those of us who listened to Trump before when he was on CNBC and things like that, before he was a candidate, there's no question, besides everything else bad that you want to say about him, he's a very elliptical speaker. And he doesn't speak linearly. And I know you guys think he doesn't think linearly. But he will, even before he was a candidate, he would say six different things about the same subject in the same interview. And so you can take a lot out of what he
says.
Wait.
So that's good?
No, it is what it is. So he'll.
Oh, no, it's good. It is what it is. But I asked you, is that good that he can take six different positions on the same subject?
No, I'd rather, for me personally, and everybody always says, how could you vote for the guy and what do you like and all that. For me personally, on the things that are important to me and that I believe are important to the nation, I think he's actually been very, very, very consistent. On the political stuff, yeah, he can be all over the place. And that's why I think it's a mistake I think he throws this stuff out there and lets people run after it.
And this, by the way, becomes a very important letter considering what you just said, Rich. Rich.
Yes.
It says Rich.
Okay.
Okay. That's the subject. Would someone please be kind enough to remind Rich that two wrongs do not make a right, and never have going, and never have, period.
Well, that's your line, Alan.
It's my mother's line before me. Going back in history, and before her, going back in history to justify bad behavior today is an absurd defense and a complete waste of time. And that's Joe from Ankrum. I love Ankrum. Have I ever told you that? It's a great place. Okay. Rich says, guess what his subject line is?
Rich.
Rich. Rich, period. Obama spoke to McConnell, and McConnell refused to support announcing the Russian interference into the election. Trump is a liar, has made millions violating the Emoluments Clause, and has the most convicted and dishonest administration since Nixon. Rich.
I didn't know that Obama had spoke to McConnell. What does Obama need McConnell's permission to talk to the nation about trying to keep an election proper and fair?
I think you could argue that. Now that you've raised that with me, I could argue with you, and basically say, Obama was trying to hold this democratic small d system together. So he thinks that politicians have boundaries that they have to adhere to, and so he goes to some of the adversaries like McConnell and says, "Hey, this ain't right. This just ain't right. We want to get everybody together to acknowledge that this isn't right." And I think that's what this was all about.
Yeah, but I agree with Rich that you know,
you can't.
No, that before the election, it was it was almost a lock that Clinton was going to win. That's what I shouldn't say a lock. That's what the country largely believed. And if the Obama administration starts meddling, then you have a very outspoken Trump, if he were to lose, who could wreak all types of havoc.
Say it was rigged.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I do agree that the point, what it's not that he ignored it; it's that he acknowledged it and perhaps spread it to other lawmakers, but did not want to appear to be influencing or interfering with an election that everybody thought was going to be a lock.
The only thing I would disagree with you about is I don't think you were really agreeing with Rich. I think you were agreeing with me. Of course, that was my point.
I thought I heard Rich say that. Then I agree with both of you because I thought I heard Rich say that.
Okay, Todd says, Russians. Dear panel, Rich stated the Obama administration did absolutely nothing in response to Russian interference with our elections. Then why did all the Russian diplomats get expelled?
That's true. He's right. They did do that. Except that I don't know that the public at large, and maybe they did, but I don't know that the public at large was told prior to while the election was going on, while the campaign was going on, hey, we think there's been, what do we call it? Meddling. I think meddling is actually the right word. I think that's probably about the level of interference it was. So, yes, I know that they were taking actions against the Russians, but I don't know that that was publicly linked necessarily with the campaign meddling.
Now, Teresa has another question for you, Rich. It's the Rich Show. How does Rich feel about Russian interference to help neo-fascist parties in Europe?
I don't like Russian interference, I don't like any country's interference into any other country's democratic process. But in this globally connected world, it's a fact of life. Even to the point where, I won't go into the whole thing about, we took in the previous administration, we took actions, regarding the Israeli administration. And that was probably more overt. It's not a good thing, but it's a fact of life. And I think the lesson.
So bad things can be just dismissed as a bad fact of life.
No, but the lesson is you have to really be careful about where you take your news and where you get your information and double check. I know it's not an oxymoron, but it's ironic that in this age of more and more information, you can trust it. You have to do more and more work to do your due diligence. I don't think it's a good thing, but it's a fact. And if you don't like it, then we should get rid of the entire internet. And I don't think anybody wants to do that.
But the genius of Putin's engagement with other countries is it's kind of a what's the word I'm looking for? Like a meta philosophy of just fomenting as much dissent and polarization and chaos as possible.
Yeah.
And whether it's neo-Nazis or Trump or, people, communist dictators. The whole point is just to continue to polarize, which makes it tougher for cohesion, the provision of public goods, any type of common spirit. That's what Putin wants.
And we walked
And that's
right
the genius of his strategy.
We walked right into it.
Okay, we got to move on here.
Yeah, we actually, let's take a break, and then when we come back, we'll continue. Governor Cuomo at 10 o'clock. We have just about 10 minutes left here. We will come back and continue right after this. All right, letters, and then we'll talk about Iran, and then we'll move on, and the governor will be here at 10 o'clock.
Okay, here we go, real quickly. Kimberly says, how can anyone, in capital letters, defend Trump? Never forget that Clinton received 3 million more votes. Our democracy is being destroyed, and Mitch McConnell is even more evil than Trump.
That is true. And I think between New York and California, she got 6 million more votes between those two states than Trump did. Which is another way of saying out of the other 48 states, she got 3 million less votes. So it speaks more to the division between the kind of the country.
So what does that mean? I mean, we should forget about California, New York, and Massachusetts? What are you saying here?
Alan, actually, you know this stuff better than I do.
Yes,
Don't you think the Electoral College generally, I mean, it seems like the Democrats walk in, they've got, you know, they have New York and California, you know, locked up. And that's a long way. That gets you a far away right there.
We should have a whole program on the Electoral College and its various evils. But I think that the framers screwed up. That's the bottom line.
You think they screwed up at the time, or you think it is something that is not where the country has evolved so much that, like, it made sense then, it maybe doesn't make sense now?
Well, it was a marriage of convenience. It's the only way they could get thing through. So they did it. Okay, let's go. DNC hiring a Fusion GPS. It's not a fair point about Clinton campaign reference that they somehow violated the foreign interference rule. The rule is taking something of value without compensation. The DNC hired Fusion GPS, and Fusion GPS hired Christopher Steele as a contractor. He was paid for the services he provided. Okay, let's move right on. Victor says, Russia, if you are all wrong about Obama's response to Russian interference. Obama wanted to go public, but McConnell threatened to claim any statement Obama made was only for partisan political reasons. Can you imagine partisan political reasons saying partisan political reasons on the part of Obama?
And who would want that media
battle? He was a minor leaguer. That's what he was when it came to that. Rich.
Yes.
It says here in capital letters. Are you kidding me? Dear panel, Rich, what do you mean this isn't important? Trump knows that what he is proposing is illegal. He doesn't care. He has now virtually indicated that he is open to breaking the law and accepting help from foreign actors to win re-election. He has just cut Ray off at the knees and totally invalidated any work by the FBI. Ray, by the way, is the FBI chief. But by the FBI and others to protect our electoral system in 2020. And you, Rich, are continuing the what about Obama and what about the Democrats straight out of Trump and the Republican playbook. This is unacceptable. No excuses. Please, Trump, stop trying to make them. Wrong is wrong. We need to stand up to this. Bobby and Troy.
Joe, you want to read the other one?
We have two. We have one that says Rich, and just says Rich is a very interesting person. But there's the other one that says, why do you feature liars on your show? And I said to Aaron, please, will you stop? And then I wrote, oh, no, it's about Rich.
I'll try harder in the future.
Okay, last letter.
Yo, there we go.
Trump. By the way, if anybody ever comes to one of the live shows, if you ever invite me back, we will read to you, which we can't read on the radio, the absolute best letter we ever got about it. So the next time you're selling tickets to that, right, Joe?
We should just do that.
We should auction that off.
What a great idea. Trump and Honan's lies. One, Obama didn't do enough true, but he wanted to tell the public, and McConnell said he wouldn't join a bipartisan statement about Russian interference. And two, someone else on the panel said the DNC commissioned the Steele report. You didn't immediately correct that. A Republican did. We have subsequently read a letter about that.
Yes, I stand corrected on that.
And dropped it when it became clear that Trump would be the nominee. DNC then began paying for it. Please, Laura and Colony.
Okay, tankers are attacked in Mideast, and U.S. says video shows that Iran was involved. Just a few minutes on this story, but explosions crippled two oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman on Thursday in what the United States called unprovoked attacks by Iran, raising alarms about immediate security and potential military conflict and a vital passageway for a third of the world's petroleum. Iran called the accusations part of a campaign of American disinformation and, quote-unquote, warmongering. The explosions forced the crews of both vessels to evacuate and left at least one ablaze. And hours later, the causes were still under investigation. Yet the backdrop of steeply rising threats between President Trump and Iranian leaders gave the stricken ships a grave significance even before the facts became clear.
What, who wrote that? Is that the Times or the Washington Post?
There are three authors of this letter, of this article from the New York Times.
Okay. And this was before the video came out? Showing the Iranian sailors trying to remove the mine?
This is of the video. Look right there. It says video shows Iran was involved.
That's a great way of writing around the facts.
It was all about that battleship of Maine at war with the great nation Spain. When I get back to Spain, I'm going to honor my name. Did the Spaniards really blow up the Maine or something else?
So the economist in me, whether Iran did this, whether the U.S. had allies like Saudi Arabia or the United Arab Emirates do this, is totally irrelevant. It's irrelevant in terms of the economic consequences. You have a national security advisor who's argued for regime change. The sanctions on Iran have been intensified. Iran has all the leverage in any type of negotiations with the U.S. because a third of the world's oil passes through the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz. Oil prices are up just a little over 2% since the incident. Economists are expecting it to rise. Another 12%. This is just another area of that uncertainty that can depress U.S. growth specifically, since the U.S. Uses about a fifth of the world's oil. So from an economic standpoint, who did it is irrelevant. It's the fact that this is going to lead to uncertainty, higher oil prices that all firms use as, you know, a primary input, that all consumers use for gasoline. Things are starting to get real. Unlike the Mexican tariff thing, which was relatively minor, this, you know, messing with the world's oil supply and the U.S. being the world's largest demander of it is really serious.
Well, isn't that possible, though, that that's one of the reasons? If indeed they did it, and I understand it at the moment I'm going with it, appears that they did, but I understand that's a fluid set of facts. But wouldn't that have been the reason to do it, was to bring economic pressure, was to have the European community bring pressure? As well as, you know, Democrats here bringing pressure on Trump. It seems to be part of these accelerating provocative acts both by Iran and Russia, right? Russia, you know, you had Russia, you know, the near miss with the American warship, and it seems to be that they are trying hard to push the United States, push Trump into doing something. So far, they have not done a heck of a lot from a military standpoint. So, but it seems like that's what the pressure is trying to bring, economic pressure.
Yeah. And, you know, Trump's whole argument with the tariffs was, and he said this in The Art of the Deal, is that you have to go in with leverage. You have to go in with leverage, and that gives you the ability to extract terms from whoever you're negotiating with. I think in this case, Iran has all the leverage.
I think Iran has none of the leverage. I think Iran is collapsing under the
sanctions.
Iran
produced a decade of stagflation in the U.S. in the 1970s.
Yeah, but that was then, and now
that's a lot of leverage.
Yeah, and now we're making our own oil, which
sure.
I know, and I'm not minimizing all the other issues. And in Judith's absence, I will say, you know, I'm not going to minimize those issues, but it's different. Now, Iran is creaking under the weight of the sanctions. There seems to be an increasing dissonance between the religious leaders and the allegedly moderate. I don't think they are the kind of political leaders. There's that, you know, there are those problems. And at the end of the day, we're still going to have warships there. And, you know, there's probably going to be more of these things. But I don't know what more Iran can do. I don't think they really want to provoke an actual military incursion.
The governor's on line 11. We got to go.
Okay.
All right. Aaron Pacini, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Rich Honan, thank you very much. Alan will be back with the governor right after this short break.